Listeners, is your child struggling with a specific subject? Do you want to help set them up for success? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how they learn. In my house, my daughter could not wrap her head around ratios in her sixth grade math class, and I was not much help except for that I put her on IXL and got her set up to do the tutorial on ratios, and it was the boost she needed. IXL is super simple like that because everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Hello there, listeners. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You know what is also so great? You don't need to be rich to start investing. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with just $5 or even just your spare change. Acorns works for me because I love knowing I'm doing something proactive for my future when I'm not even thinking about it and giving my money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Pay client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Housewives of True Crime. Housewives
of True Crime. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Back in action.
Back in action. Mrs. Jackson, it's the last week of January. Can you even believe it? I just cannot.
I can.
You can. It probably feels very slow over there. Those fires are still going, which, guys, I'm like mind blown. Like, I cannot believe that LA's still on fire. My phone is still connected to like the LA system, so they think that I'm still there. And I got an alert last night that was like evacuation.
Yeah, it's still a real situation. Although yeah, my husband's at the Laker game.
Okay, well, not so a situation
that,
in
that area is fine, apparently.
Jelly belly.
I know, but hotel rooms are real expensive, so that's kind of annoying.
That is annoying.
All these people that are jacking up the rents, that's annoying too.
Yeah, it's just totally.
Tragedies are like weddings and funerals. It just brings out the absolute fucking worst.
I know,
right?
So true. Okay, so I had homework this week.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, like, my kids' homework, mm-hmm. right? I don't know how sometimes they expect these kids to do these projects. So anyways, I feel like I'm back in school.
Yeah, you are. I do know how they, I have an answer for you, though, how they expect some kids
can actually do it.
Yeah, it's true. I interact frequently with a mom who, like, she can't stop herself. She's like, oh, fuck, I got to go for another, like, honor roll thing today at the school.
Oh, and does her kid actually do the work? She doesn't do it for
her. Her kid's like a freaking angel. It's like, and when I complained, she actually told me before my girls went to this junior high that they don't give homework at this school. That's not true. Yeah, they do. It's not like they give homework in relation to if you don't finish it in class.
Oh, yeah.
You think we'd be finishing our shit in class?
Yeah, no.
We're not on task. We're squirrel, just like their mama.
Yeah. So my son was like, I got an A+. I was like, no, honey. We got an A+. Plus Damian, our editor. So thank you, Dom, because it was a video project and I just happened to insert our lovely capabilities that we have here on the Housewives True Crime podcast. So
Snaps comes in handy.
It totally does.
You know what? I was really happy to hear over there on the Patreon episode that we just recorded. I talked about I was going to chaperone a field trip and I was so excited that I got picked. Yes. And I always have this thing about, you know, they always say they just draw parents out of a hat, but I don't think so. Because if I was a teacher, I wouldn't be doing it like that. I'd be picking the mamas that I like or dads, whatever.
Yeah.
A teacher wrote.
But probably moms.
Yeah. A teacher wrote us and said, yeah, I'm an elementary school teacher. And 100% we just pick the parents that we want to come.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, knew it. Validation.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You know what my kid said? This is why. One of my children, who I will be doing the projects for in the future. So all these kids are at the freaking symphony. And the maestro lady is kind of like yelling out suggestions. She's making up the story, the whole bit. Anyways. So the kids start yelling out Ohio, which if you don't have a 12-year-old, kids say Ohio. None of us understand why. They also say skibbity toilet and a bunch of other weird shit.
Yeah.
But okay. My son was like, I didn't know that Ohio was a state.
Oh.
He uses the word Ohio all the time, but he didn't know that it was also a state. So clearly, and he's in the fifth grade. So clearly I'll be helping him with his homework for a long time.
Yes, you too. Will.
Mm-hmm. And it also, I mean, I think it's a little embarrassing at the symphony with these children yelling out skibbity toilet. Whatever they do are saying.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, all good.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. I have a announcement to make that you don't even know yet.
Oh, do tell.
You guys have, and real quick, because I know we're hitting on the 7 minutes, but this year, 2025, is the year to come and see us. So if you have not met us yet, we would love to meet you. And there's going to be multiple opportunities, but the first one I'm going to tell you today, and then the second one I'm going to tell you on January 31st. So, but we are going officially to CrimeCon in Denver.
Yay! Blue drop!
Woo! Yes. So isn't that exciting?
It is so
exciting.
I mean,
we already started planning before we knew for sure
Mountain
that we
High.
Were being invited back, but we have been officially invited back.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, if you're a planner like me, start planning, people.
Yeah.
It's September. Let me tell you, it's a great weekend. It is September 6th and 7th this year in Denver. It's the weekend after Labor Day. So you just, you know, like, we know you don't have anything to do.
Now your kids are back in school.
Your kids are back in school.
So just get some babysitter over the weekend or bring your husband and the kids and then just, you know, sneak off.
It's at the Gaylord Hotel. Just
you could totally bring your kids.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. The other event is going to be in November. So if September doesn't work out, then come in November. But I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
You want to get to it?
Yeah, let's get to it. Okay. Today's case takes place in Renton, Washington, which is a nice area right outside of Seattle. I am basing that assertion of the fact that it's nice based on when I searched the real estate, the most inexpensive home was $750,000.
Whoa, dude, that's real for the most inexpensive home?
That's all I needed to know because I don't think people be shelling out $750,000 to live in shittown.
No. Okay.
No. Okay. I picked today's crime because if you did not know, my name is Gretchen and I live in California.
Oh my God, thanks for letting us know.
We have a fire situation here. And spoiler, this case involves arson. and extra. It all begins and ends with one Mr. Matthias Bachmeier, a sergeant for the Kings County Police Department for... It does?
Bachmeier?
I didn't even think of that. You're the immature 12-year-old one then, okay? You're going to be laughing the whole way through, girl, because I'm going to be saying Officer Bachmeier a lot.
Oh, it's Bachmeier. I thought you said Bachmeier.
Oh, no. That'd be better.
Yeah. Okay, Bachmeier.
Yeah. If it was Bachmeier, I would have just called him Officer Fuckmeier the whole episode.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, Mr. Matthias Bachmeier, a sergeant for the Kings County Police Department for 25 years, is... You know who I'm going to be talking about. Okay. That makes him sound great, right?
It does. Long time.
Longevity. Yeah. But really, he was not. Although he was a popular guy on the force when it came to actual policing, he had a questionable record during his policing career. It is highly speculated that this questionable record of his that I'm about to tell you stems from the fact that policing was not his calling, Tab. Matthias, who went by Matt, so I'm just going to call him that, had a passion for big, heavy balls. Bowling balls. Yeah. He yearned to be a pro bowler.
Dude, I yearned to be a pro bowler back in the day, too. So I liked bowling when I was in my 20s.
Yeah, I like bowling now. It's one of my favorite things to do with the kids. It's real fun. I think I would be an excellent team member, too. I certainly would, like, rock a bowling shirt.
Oh, I bet you we could make some real cute bowling shirts. We should make some Housewives True Crime bowling shirts.
Mm-hmm. Cute.
Cute. Okay.
Okay, so bowling could have been, perhaps, Matt's true passion. I think that it's a bit like that teacher we all had in school that you just know did not like teaching. And it's like teaching, policing, nursing, those are the kind of jobs that you have to have a calling for to be good at, right? Because if not, it ends up shaking out like a whole lot of people pay the price for you not following your true passion, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So Matt's lack of policing for the greater good passion showed itself over the years in the form of over 24 citizen complaints. What I could find out about that was, according to the Seattle Times, his file included incidents which led to the county reaching settlements with citizens who were assaulted and harassed by Officer Bachmeier in 1986 and 1989 to the tune of $165,000. And by the time I catch y'all up about his time policing, that settlement number that was paid out to citizens is going to exceed $500,000. And involve a couple of real shady incidents.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Does mm-hmm. the money come from the state or the city or
county.
Out of his?
Yeah. The county, yeah. One incident was Bachmeier was accused of throwing a lighted road flare at a vehicle while off duty in plain clothes at an accident scene. Another involved an incident where Bachmeier entered a man's house without a warrant or probable cause to think a crime was occurring and acted unreasonably and negligently in imprisoning the plaintiff without clothes in freezing weather. That's a quote. Okay.
Okay. By the way, who's the 12-year-old?
The 12-year-old?
Yeah, you called me a 12-year-old. He sounds like a 12-year-old.
Oh,
his actions are like child.
Totally. Yeah. There was another complaint against him that was filed in 1993 that alleges that he confronted three teenage boys outside a grocery store. This makes him not 12. This makes him an asshole. Okay. The teenage boys were African American. And he questioned them about graffiti at the store. According to the report about the incident, he used profanity and racial slurs to threaten the juveniles and grabbed one of them. So like I was saying, his deplorable behavior that ended his career in 1996 cost the county in excess of $500,000, which in 1996, by the way, is like $1 million today. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's not like...
Not chump change.
Yeah, right. And I tell you all this background because if I just said Officer Bachmeier was a 25-year veteran of the police department, you might think that that, you know, speaks good on him.
Yeah, he's able to retire at that point, you know.
Right. But in reality, it was more like not so good and kind of perplexing as to how did this guy even still have a job? Mm-hmm. A real unfortunate incident that resulted in a fatality involving the officer took place in 1988 when Officer Bachmeier fatally shot a man named Guadalupe Rios. He claimed self-defense and the shooting was ruled justified, but there's some doubt about that. According to the Seattle Weekly, there are witnesses who saw him plant the gun, and those witnesses were not heard by the jury.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't do it like that deep of a dive into that shooting, but from what I read, it does sound like there had to be more to it than self-defense, even without those witness statements mm-hmm. that weren't heard, because the county gave Guadalupe Rios's family a $20,000 settlement, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that means don't come back for us. Okay.
Right.
So that fatal incident was brought to light again 8 years after it took place in a very roundabout sort of way. Matt Bachmeier had since gone on with life. You know, he's policing, he's bowling. He had been married for a minute, but at this point in 1996, he was no longer married, but he had a girlfriend named Roberta that was a fellow officer. On July 9th of 1996, around 1 a.m., Matt was off duty and he wasn't home. So, of course, he's at the bowling alley, right? And that's when the fire situation took place. Matt's house went ablazing. An outside wall of a detached shed left standing had graffiti on it that said, "Pigs eat shit. You're dead. Rios lives."
Okay.
So the presumption was that the house fire was in retaliation for Officer Bachmeier fatally shooting Guadalupe Rios 8 years prior. Mm-hmm. But upon closer inspection, Matt himself came under scrutiny for the arson of his home. How could that be, you say? Matt was getting his bull on. Well, the way the fire was set was that road flares were attached to gas-filled containers. So those take a while to burn down. And it turned out Matt hadn't showed up to bowl until after midnight. So it was possible he could have started the fire himself and then bounced to the bowling alley for an alibi. Mm-hmm. Also, it seemed real sus that Matt's valuables were found boxed up in the shed that was not attached to the house. Matt's valuables included, of course, his precious bowling trophies, jewelry, and artworks, including a collection of ceramic pigs, which, side note, I would think would be offensive for an officer of the law to collect, but I mean, to each their own. Tell me I'm wrong, right?
Maybe he likes bacon.
I'm not calling an officer a pig or anything, but I just think that would be like a triggering word for them. They wouldn't collect them. But you know what? Matt's a different kind of guy. Okay. So the boxed items also included Matt's important paperwork. Well, Matt had an explanation for how conveniently, while his house was on fire, all his good shit was spared. He told his girlfriend, Roberta, that he had forgot to mention he had been burglarized recently and the thieves took his valuables. You know, the ceramic pigs and the bowling trophies. And they held them for ransom, Tab.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he met the thieves in a park where he paid them some monies and they handed over his things that they had packed up nicely for him. And he just hadn't gotten to putting them back in the house yet.
And he paid them the ransom money?
Mm-hmm. That's what he said. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You know how that goes. When you're so busy in life, you forget to mention to your partner that you were burglarized and your things were held for ransom.
Well, I had a weird incident, remember, when my purse got stolen and then from Sean's 30th birthday party. Mm-hmm. And then I got a call from somebody that found my business card in my purse in the trash can behind somewhere. which was a little sus, right? But I was 20 something and.
And you told Sean.
But I, yes, but here's my point where I didn't tell Sean.
Okay.
Is the guy called me and he was like, well, yes, Sean knew that I lost my purse. The guy called and he's like, hey, I'll meet you at the Denny's off Sunset. Mm-hmm. And I just went. I was calling Sean, but he wasn't answering. And so I went to grab my bag, but it was a shakedown because there was some people in the parking lot and I ended up hiding out in Denny's for a very long time.
Yeah. This is all coming back to me. That was a fun party too.
It was a fun party,
mm-hmm.
but the whole like, yeah, like, I mean, I don't think it really happens, but something weird happened to me. Just saying.
Okay. Well,
but, yes, you do tell your partner.
You did tell your partner. I forget to tell my partner things like I placed a couple orders from the T-Mail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You definitely forget to tell your.
I might have this week.
Yeah.
Okay. But things of that nature. Well, Roberta did not buy his story, okay? She's feeling the same kind of way as us. Like, you should have been telling me. So she did not still... Her thinking that kind of way, she did not initially share this explanation that she was given by him. She's just zipped her lips. Well, he ends up giving another version of how things were taken of his for ransom that he told to another officer, which involved the things being taken for ransom because he had seized some money and drugs during a traffic stop and had decided that, you know... It was a long day already. And so I didn't like detain the drug dealer that I pulled over, but like I wasn't going to return the drugs and cash I found on him. That would be irresponsible. So I just kept them. And he says, but you know, like turns out that apparently ticked this drug dealer off because he broke into my home and took my valuable things so he could, you know, come back at me all like, give me back my money and drugs. Oh, you'll never see your 1992 tax return or your bowling trophies ever again. Right?
Right. Right.
Okay. There's a couple more versions out there that he told various peoples, but they're all a stretch. Okay. And you know what they say? And we have found it definitely to be true when people are telling what happened. The truth don't change.
Right.
Right.
That's actually true.
Okay. But, you know, Matt's story did. So it's not hard to imagine how, one, the time-delayed accelerant used to start his home fire, coupled with his ever-changing version of events, led Matt Bachmeier himself to be under suspicion. Well, Matt began to really feel the heat of said suspicion when he was asked to just clear up the confusion and take a polygraph test. But he refused to do so. I think that he refused to do so because he was guilty. I imagine Matt knew he was guilty too, and he also knew he was in a real pickle this time, and it wasn't looking like his past incidents, which I have told you he had plenty of, where he'd been able to kind of weather them out long enough for them to just be swept under the rug. So to remedy this incident, pickle, whatever, Matt did something real wrong, like fast pass ticket to the hot place wrong. You see, there was a man named Brad Wren who was mentally impaired ever since he suffered a traumatic brain injury after a motorcycle accident. Now, that sucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Brad Wren, I have to just tell it all, was not without flaw. He actually had the worst kind of flaw. He pled guilty to molesting a 10-year-old girl in 1989, for which he served a pathetic 3 months in prison for. Prison is where he was when he met his roommate, Emmett, at the time when he crossed paths with Matt Bachmeier. Now, according to Brad Wren's parents, who still loved their son while also acknowledging he had, quote, a checkered past after the accident, they say before it, he was a real delight. That he had a bright future in the Air Force, and he certainly wouldn't have dreamed of anything criminal prior to the accident.
Okay.
So that's there's that. It's their son, and they feel some kind of way about him, and that's just kind of a little bit important to know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Brad Wren had sued the county in 1991. According to the Seattle Times, he claimed that when he was arrested by an officer Calhoun on June 8, 1990 for violating terms of his release from jail in another case, the officer handcuffed his hands behind his back so tightly he was in pain. When he moved his hands to relieve the pressure, the officer and his partner beat him, is what the lawsuit alleges. That case was settled out of court with the county paying $50,000 to
Brad Ratner. Why are they keeping this dude?
Okay, no, this is not Matt Bachmeier. So this, I'm just telling you about this mentally impaired guy that is crossing paths with Matt Bachmeier.
Right, right.
But he has this history of suing the county.
Okay.
So this guy, Brad Ratner, is a situation. But, you know, I'm telling you, his mama... she saw it another kind of way. She said that he was all right. He had dogs that he loved and had been taking care of them and himself and staying out of trouble mostly since 1990 while collecting disability since he could no longer work, and his family still cared for him very much. Now, I would speculate that Matt Bachmeier did not realize that part about his family caring about him very much. I think he probably viewed Brad Ratner as someone that could go missing and not really be missed. I think it's possible he knew about Brad's past, the lawsuit and everything, and that's why he targeted him. It's also possible that Brad's past is not why he targeted him, but he did target him for sure.
Listeners, are you like me and love crossing everything off your list of to-dos, but making a will is one of those tasks that's still uncrossed because it's so dang overwhelming? Well, it doesn't have to be. Take this task off your already busy hands with Trust and Will. Each will or trust is estate-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. I love having the confidence that comes with the peace of mind of knowing that my family is protected. And FYI, it's affordable and it really is easier than you think. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. When maneuvering through the process, if you have a question that stops you in your tracks, there is actual live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot and has been used by hundreds of thousands of families and counting. Stand up and protect what matters most to you in minutes with Trust and Will. Go to trustandwill.com/housewives and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/housewives. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns Early. Acorns Early is the smart money app and debit card for kids that helps them learn the value of money. Teaching my kids the value of money is always on my list, but I'm not the best at keeping track of the money they earn from helping around the house. But I just discovered Acorns Early has a great tool to help me with that. Acorns Early Chore Tracker teaches kids hard work really does pay off. You just set up the chores in the app, set a payment amount, and then tick the chore off the list when it's done. Acorns Early also lets parents pay allowances automatically. No more running rummaging around the house for cash. Automatically send a weekly allowance to your kids' account with just a few taps. Kids can spend what they earn with their very own debit card, which you know they'll love. And they get to choose from more than 35 customizable card designs. Plus, parents, we can keep track of where and when the kids are spending. You can get real-time spend notifications, set your kids' spending limits, and instantly block lost or stolen cards. Now is the time to grow your kids' money skills with bite-sized financial lessons. The Acorns Early app is here for that. They have tons of fun, interactive courses that help kids learn all things money. So ready to for your kids to learn the value of money? Just head to acornsearly.com or download the Acorns Early app to get started. Sign up now and get your first month on us. TNCs apply. Monthly subscription fee starting from $5 per month unless canceled.
Matt was called to Brad Wren's for a domestic dispute a few weeks after the fire in his home. Brad's residence had recently had a string of calls to it because he and his roommate recently became former roommates after 6 years had been going back and forth in some non-productive attempts to retaliate towards each other. They had been engaging in behavior like letting the air out of each other's tires, taking each other's shit, right? The police had been called out there 6 times over the last couple of days. And it was always a situation because also Brad's roommate Emmett had his own mental health struggles and was known to exert his aggression. And the landlord of these two men that are going back and forth was Emmett's brother who lived across the street. So whenever he got involved, Brad always felt like real ganged up on by the two men. And he was definitely felt some kind of way about Emmett because Emmett had shot him in the leg 2 weeks prior.
Oh my God, this sounds so crazy.
It is. That is what started the whole back and forth with why he had to move out and they're letting the tire, you know, the air out of the tires and all that thing.
I guess.
The two men were working on a project together and Brad accidentally hit Emmett's finger with a hammer. Now that hurts.
But how do you accidentally? Oh, I guess they were working on a project. So, okay.
Yeah. They were building something together.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it hurt Emmett a little too much because that is what provoked him to shoot Brad in the leg.
Okay.
Okay. So on this particular day that Matt Bachmeier was dispatched to the resident that Brad Wren and his roommate Emmett had shared, the landlord brother had called for some police supervision while he removed some things from the house. So when Matt Bachmeier and another officer were dispatched over there, Matt said, "No, I got this. I'll do it by myself. I don't need anybody else." And then that's when he got there and instructed Brad Wren to get in his police car to go with him to make a statement down at the station. There is evidence that Brad Wren did participate in giving a written statement to Officer Bachmeier, but it wasn't filed that day. And it wasn't about his grievances with the whole, you know, bad roommate, leg shooting, all this crazy back and forth stuff that they had going on. In his statement, which has his signature and is filled with like multiple inks in different kinds of paragraphs, it says that Brad Wren had met a drug dealer named Pepe Hernandez at a bar. And Pepe told him that he had burglarized an officer's home and then set it on fire. So, like I said, this didn't get filed that day, but Officer Bachmeier kept it and didn't produce it until the heat from the arson investigation into him, like, was really making him sweat.
Yeah.
The problem, actually, there's kind of problems with this sort of get out of jail free card that he thinks he has now in his back pocket was that when he did produce Brad's statement about the arson, was they went looking for him to corroborate it, right? And when they did go looking for him, they discovered that he had gone missing. And the last time he was seen was getting into Officer Bachmeier's patrol car. that, you know, that's the last time anybody on his street had seen him. So what I'm telling you happened, because I know it's very convoluted, right?
Yeah.
Is that Matt Bachmeier thought to himself, why don't I just use this pain in the ass that keeps calling up the police, right? Convicted child molester, police suing, mentally and physically impaired. He's like in Crushes. Brad Wren to take the heat off of myself. You know, who knows what he did to get Brad Wren to sign the police report that had this weird confession on it. But remember, it was in multiple inks. So it was clear he just like filled it in later. And then to ensure that Brad Wren would never be questioned about his statement, he made him go missing in the form of murder. Brad Wren's family had tried to report him missing after a week, but the police would not even take the report initially. So they kept on making noise about what the hell happened to Brad, because he had left in a police car and never been seen again. Mm-hmm. And according to his mama, she knew he was dead somewhere because he just wouldn't have left his dogs.
Or his mom.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, okay, side note. There is like a Forensic Files episode about this case, and they don't even mention he was a child molester. They say he had gone to prison for some sex-involved offense.
So I noticed, okay, so I'm doing a case next week, and they leave out these details. And I watched a Dateline episode and a 48 Hours episode on this case, and they leave out these like details that you kind of need to know.
Yeah, because I think it speaks to why Matt Bachmeier picked him.
Yes, but yes, that's right. And it's the same with this other episode. It's like they act like, and yes, I do not want to like victim blame or victim shame or anything like that. But you need to understand the whole picture, or it's not a real story. You know, it's.
And listen, two things can be true. This 100%. Brad Wren could have been an awful person, but a police officer still doesn't have the right to go off and murder him and use him as a, you know, scapegoat.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So we're just, I'm just telling you how it is.
Okay. Thanks. Because I appreciate the all around honesty of everything.
Right. Okay. So it had taken a minute for the mama to get police to start, you know, looking for him. But then they want to look for him because, you know, Brad produces this report and they find that he, in addition to not taking care of his dogs, he hadn't like used his bank account or anything like that, right? So investigators now were investigating Brad for arson and possible homicide. They searched the patrol car, his patrol car, and they found blood. And not just a little blood, a massive amount of blood. It had
Didn't really clean it. I mean, he's an officer of the law. Doesn't he know better?
Well, it had been cleaned off the surface, but it had soaked all the way through the upholstery.
Okay.
I mean, dude does shit half-assed, Tab. He moves his, you know, totally bowling trophies to the shed. Move them to a friend's house. Like, come on.
Okay, true.
Okay. He's not deep cleaning.
He's not the smartest officer on the on duty. Mm-mm. Please do not anything for us.
Thank God these people investigating are not giving him like a, you know, brotherhood officer's patch, you know?
Right.
Okay. So they tested the blood in the car and they tested Brad Wren's parents and they concluded it was Brad Wren's after the testing. Well, Matt Bachmeier had an explanation for how the blood got there. He said Brad Wren had a bloody nose in his car.
I mean, of course.
Right. Yeah. But
that's pretty good, actually.
I've seen some wicked bloody noses in my day. Okay. But they did test on the seeds from like other patrol car vehicles that proved it would have taken quarts of blood to seep as far through as the blood evidence in his car.
Okay.
So that's no bloody nose, right? And so Matt Bachmeier was charged with the murder of Brad Wren. You know what? I don't believe he was ever charged for the arson. Just the murder, which I find surprising. But when he was charged for the murder, it was not a slam dunk because they did not have a body. Matt Bachmeier pled not guilty, but the remains of Brad Wren were found pre-trial in the Cougar Mountain Woods in an area that was gated. It's like some kind of private lands, but somehow Matt had a key to it on his keychain. And his girlfriend had testified that he had he was familiar with it. He had taken her there before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now it is kind of a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Bachmeier was found guilty and sentenced to life. Matt's sister told the Seattle Times after the trial that, quote, they never established the cause of death or the time of death. Or even if he was killed. Maybe he just had a real bad bloody nose.
Oh,
and
my God. Come on.
Walked off into the... Yeah, okay. So, you know, whatever, right? So I don't see how they could say... This is part of her quote, too. She also said, so I don't see how they could say one suspect had an airtight alibi when it was never really established when Brad died. Sorry, sister. Not sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt's family also voiced that his motive doesn't make sense because Matt's car and motorcycle were paid off. So they don't feel he would have benefited enough from the arson to have committed such an act. I don't know. What was at the center of the 6-week long trial was that prosecutors argued that Matt's deep desire to retire from the department and join the Pro Bowler tour is what motivated him to commit the arson. And then, you know, it just snowballed from there. And then he just intended Brad Wren to be his scapegoat. Now, this last thing is going to perhaps throw you for a loop. It did me. While researching this case, I read that, quote, as a state prisoner, Bachmeier successfully claimed he couldn't return to duty due to depression and post-trauma stress disorder resulting from his murder conviction. In a remarkable catch-22, the state board says Bachmeier is qualified and can legally receive his $30,000 annual pension from the department while doing time.
That's actually crazy, but I could see it.
I just can't believe that the argument for him being able to keep his benefits is that he is suffering from PTSD from being convicted of murder.
That is crazy. That if he was convicted with murder without PTSD, he doesn't get his benefits? Like, how does that work?
Well, if he wasn't convicted of murder, I'm sure he would have found something else to argue.
You mean like if he didn't have PTSD?
That is what it says. I read you the quote.
Because I'm just thinking if he just wanted his benefits, could he get them? Because he...
I would think you would say I have PTSD from having to commit a murder because I'd gotten myself in such a damn pickle after I burned my damn house down.
He still isn't going to admit that he
murdered. Well, of course not.
So he's just going to say he has PTSD from getting convicted of murder because he's obviously not the murderer.
It just blows my mind. Yeah.
This is why people that are wrongly convicted can't get out of fucking jail, because you've got all these douche canoes that actually did it that won't admit it and keep also saying they didn't do it. And so it gets, the system gets really crazy because they're like, you know, you get jaded. You're like, yeah, you and everybody else, buddy, didn't do it.
Yeah.
But they did, you know? And then the one that didn't is like, no, I like really didn't do it. It's hard. It's a hard system, right?
Well, yeah. Okay. I also read in an article in the Seattle Times that, quote, however, after learning, this was like 10 years after, so he got to collect for a long time after his conviction. After learning the monthly payments that are made to, so his pension was being paid to his family. You know, the sister that says like he couldn't do it. Okay.
To the other guy's family.
Okay. So his an attorney was able to legally claim $1,500 of the pension payment each month was paid in damages to Brad Wren's family.
Yeah. So what I would have done if I was Brad Wren's family is I would have sued civilly.
Well, they did. They did sue the county for wrongful death.
No, I would have sued him. I would have sued Bokfuck. And and then I would have got his pension.
Well, okay. So they ended up getting $1,500 a month. Mm-hmm. And then they also got $300,000 from the county.
Mm, not enough.
Is it? Listen.
I want the guy's whole pension. I don't need him having commissary.
Okay, but remember, he's the child molester.
I know. Okay, fine. But he does. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I hate child molesters. Like, I can't even. Like, I'm just saying,
maybe this, call me a judgy bitch, but I am not, certainly not condoning the officer killing him, but I'm just saying, if you have a child molester son and an officer kills him, I don't think you get to go and sue and say the world would be a better place if my son was here. I need money.
Yeah, you're true. True.
Also, okay, so Brad Bachmeier is 77 years old, and Brad Wren was like the same age, around the same age as him. And so his parents are dead. So I feel like, okay, like talking
about
this.
Wait, isn't one named Matt and one's named Brad?
Oh, I just said that wrong. Yes, yeah. Matt Bachmeier.
Okay.
Brad is the guy that he killed, yeah, the victim. But so Brad's parents are likely passed on.
Yes,
or
I'm sure.
100
and
years
now
old.
He's getting $1,500.
And so I'm not.
Oh,
so
who's
I don't know.
$1,500. Maybe nobody.
I don't know. Maybe nobody. Maybe the sister. I mean, I don't really know. But you know, I'm just saying. You know, yeah. I can whatever. But so Matt is at the Monroe Correctional Complex in Washington. Mm-hmm. Now, and it's crazy.
He has a big commissary like amount, so I wonder if he's eating well.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is.
77. That 77 in prison's got to be old.
77 has got to be old, and I feel like they put all the old guys like together in like some like
old guy
easy peasy place where they just like watch TV all day and play cards.
Yeah, sure.
You know what? Side note: what I was reading. I know we've been talking about, I've been doing all this research on Chris Watts, even though we're not doing the Chris Watts case, but I am going to talk about it on a bonus Patreon. But something interesting I have learned is Chris Watts talking about the food that he eats. He says not so bad at the Dodge Correctional Facility in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They feed him a lot of cheese-based things. It sounds like they're getting real cheese.
Well, that's where cheese comes
from. I see a lot of really stank prison food, right? I mean, that is where that Chandler Halderson, that was a great crime. Yeah, go back and listen to that one if you're new. I don't know what episode number that is, but Chandler Halderson, he's at the Dodge Correctional Facility too with the Chris
with
Watts.
The Watts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting fed well. Well, unless you're like lactose intolerant, then
then it'd be hell. I think my son is lactose intolerant.
Oh, well, it's probably true.
I just started buying we're eliminating things one by one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got some tummy issues.
You can try for milk. It's harder for cheese and yogurt, but you could try this A2 milk, and it's cows, like certain type of cows, and it's...
Do I have to get that? I just bought the one that said lactose-free.
Yeah, but that's like chemically
done. Oh, okay.
I think you should try A2 milk first. You can get it at Sprouts and wherever. It doesn't cost more. It just has a big A2 on it. Try that first.
Okay, I will. Listen,
but it's not fun with the, because you're gonna have to like cheese.
Are you kidding me? His whole diet revolves around some form of cheese.
Yeah. So I just went dairy free, and it's not freaking easy, dude. I went and I had to a birthday party. They had cake. Well, guess what? The icing is made out of
butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, I feel like
I'm
fingers crossed. Yeah, you're not passing up cake. Okay. I'm like, fingers crossed, it's just like milk and maybe yogurt.
That's not going to happen, dude. That doesn't happen.
It could just be
cheese, because there's another enzyme in cheese that's not in milk, but I don't think so. I think you're in it. All right. So if you are new to listen to us, welcome. And we have another podcast on Thursdays that we do on Patreon. It's a paid for platform, but if you love us, you'll like it. And it's also on the Clink Clink Club. If you are on Apple, it's on Spotify.
And then, bonus, when you subscribe, you get our episodes early and ad free.
That's true. You do get all these episodes ad free. So if you're like, damn it, girls, you have another fucking ad, then subscribe. It's $4.99, I think. So yeah. It like is worth it if you don't like ads. And I know we have ads and we didn't actually, you guys, for a long time. I think we went for about 2 years without putting ads on our episodes until it was worth it for us. So we don't just do it to bombard you, but you know, this is our job. So that's how we get paid. If you don't like it, subscribe.
Or fast forward.
We won't. Or fast forward. I do that.
Shit. Yeah.
Sometimes I like listening to your ads though.
Thanks.
Yeah. Also we have skincare and it's lovely. It's all natural. We do not test it on the monkeys. It's made with organic ingredients. It's really good for your skin and it's good for your hair. It's good for everything that it is. It's made in small batches. And it is really the best stuff that you can get. And it's called Five Crimes, FiveCrimes.com. If you go there, that's also a way to support us. And it supports you. I promise you, you put that serum on your face and everybody's going to tell you that you're glowing. I promise.
It's true.
And I got a few of your cards back in the mail. So listen on Patreon for your name because I'm going to say them. And if that's you and you gave me the wrong address, then give me the right one and I'll send it to you.
You still owe me two late addresses.
I know, but it's impossible for me to do that.
It is?
Yeah. I mean, it's not impossible, but it is because I don't know. I like at this point, I can't tell you who I sent them to because I sent them all through the thing. So, but you can give them one. You can give two away.
If anybody Gretchen wants, has two. I have two. If you're the first two people to message me, I'll send you a card.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that's all for today. Thanks, Gretchy. We hope to hear from you and see you on Thursday. See you with our ears on Patreon. And until next week, it's a crazy one. So stay tuned.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink. Coming from Colorado, by the way, which Ooh. Is where CrimeCon is. I'll have to give you that code. I'm sure we're going to have a code soon. So don't buy your tickets yet.
It's going to be fun. It's so fun. Just come.
It is really fun.
It's so fun.
The other thing is going to be really fun also.
Crazy so fun. Crazy fun.
If you can afford to do both, then you should do both. But then your husband's probably going to be like, dude, seriously, you're like too obsessed with true crime. And you're going to be like, yes, I am.
Yeah. Or maybe they're cool. Or maybe we have met a lot of couples.
We have met a lot of couples.
Oh my God.
Most people come couple-y.
You know,
or their best friend or their mom or something.
How about Kathy James and her husband? Joe.
Dude,
delight.
They're going to come on the, we're going to get them to come on.
We're going to get them to come to both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. Okay.
So just come.
Right in their hood. Okay. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.